Work with the Oracle of Ascension, and it covers the throat and the third eye, both of them together. The color is gold, and it's one of the colors, the predominant colors that come in as you tune into the energies that come in when we do the process. The symbol is a spiral, and really easy to see how that works. On this, the ascendant on these two levels that we're working with, one is joy and the other is peace. And as we come into peace, we come into a place of stillness. The theme of the third eye is seeking, and peace is where we realize that what we seek is present in this moment. And so we come to rest. And that's like the eye of the, see? As we come to rest, things just happen. As we come to rest, we come into a space, or we actually are creating a place, like the eye of a hurricane. And then that spiral sets up around us. And it's from that center of that spiral that we ascend. So the focuses here that we're working with, the ascendants, are joy and peace, ascension, which is an experience of being lifted, and the attunement, the transcendent attunement, is they are. Okay. In one aspect of they are, it's a place where we are really giving ourselves in selfless service in the world. But in this sense of they are, it's where we are giving our full attention to spirit. That's the thing that allows us to stay in that place. If you're not focused on the frequency of spirit, if you're not attuning to spirit, which is what Hallowed Be Thy Name is really all about, which is the base of these two. If you're not doing that, you cannot stay in that place of peace. You go in and right out again. You literally will feel it will just toss you out, because you'll get caught up. As soon as that spiral builds just a little bit, a little tiny piece of you will go out and it'll pull you right out. And lots of times, if you're in really deep meditation, you can feel yourself being just literally slung out of it, and that is what's happening. When we attune to a frequency of spirit, what the ancient teachings speak of as the names of God, of which Om is one, Hu is one, and there are really Shanti is one. There are many names of God. Sat Nam is one. As we attune to those names, there's a frequency that builds, that literally protects us from slinging out of that space. So it builds an energy field around us. So Hallowed Be Thy Name is a real crucial part of this. In the aspect of this that we are working with, we are working with the name of God in the way that on this level here, listening and speaking and communing and joy are not just experiences that we have, but they are also frequencies of our essence. Now, listening is something that we do with our ears, and we generally listen to something out here. But if you begin to attune to listening, and then attune to the part of you that is listening, and then to the energy that listens, what you will find is that listening is actually an energetic aspect of who you are. Speaking is something that normally we do with our mouth, but we also do it with our expression. We do it with how we dress, how we move, our body language. We do it with writing. We do it in a lot of ways that we speak, express. But if you listen, you can listen to the energy of your expression. For example, if you will just choose one word, and I would suggest using om or hue, one of those words, because we're working here with sound. And just close your eyes for a minute and think the sound hue, and you will actually hear your mind creating an audible sound. When you think, you are actually creating a word. Where there was no word before. Does everybody feel that happening? I mean, it's like there's a little voice inside your head. When you think, you hear a voice saying that word inside your head. And that's you actually forming that sound. But now, go into that place where you're saying that word and perceive the place where the word is birthed in the mind out of energy. And then stop saying the word and listen just to the energy. Can y'all hear that energy? Sometimes it sounds like water. Sometimes it sounds like thunder. Very subtle. Okay. That sound that you're hearing is an aspect of what in the Lord's Prayer is, hallowed be thy name. That's the word of God being spoken, expressing within you, and your whole being is actually an expression of that word. The unique thing that we as human beings have is the ability to take that and mold it to our own will. The dogs don't do that. The dogs get patterned with a program based on instinct and survival and comfort and all of that, which we also do. And then that frequency just runs them just in the same way when you bring up a computer program, it just runs that computer program. As far as I know, we're the only beings that actually have a facility by which we can change our own computer program. And we can also change the computer program of the dog because we understand how to do that consciously. Whereas the dog's computer program is otherwise created by its adaptation to the world that it lives in. We can actually change our program. We can actually choose what thought we think. We can choose yes, and we can choose and think yes and create the energy around yes, and then we can think no. And we can think yes, no, and we can think yes 1,000 times, and we can think no 1,000 times. Nothing else does that. And that is what gives us the ability to change and actually, ultimately, ascend out of this experience. Ascend out of the experience that the dogs are having, wherein they're just in a program. They're just part of a program. We can go, I don't like this program, and we can change it. And we do that with the power of what is expressed in the prayer as, hallowed be thy name. The name of God that is within us is the creative force. And the reason it gives us that instruction is it says, make it holy. Use it only in that way which is holy to you. Use it for love. Use it for upliftment. Use it for healing. Let it be holy. Let it be special. And the only reason for that is that's the kind of experience we want. So the instruction is simply saying, don't use your creative power to create something you don't want, because that's stupid. And none of us like to have that experience of creating something we don't want. I mean, we'll do everything we can to not deny that we created it. She did it. On this level here, it's about heaven, and it's about the vision of God. But in this place, when we come into peace, we're actually letting go. And the vision of God is something that we get lifted into. It's not something that we can do. See, that's about ascension, something that we get lifted into. And going back into the base chakra, it's deliver us from evil, which brings us back up through all these centers. And that's really the ascension process. And it happens here on this level, these two levels, where we focus the thinking word mind and the visual mind in such a way that we come to rest. And instead of creating from our limited individualistic creative perspective, which is very much based on our programming, we open ourselves to receive the pure creative energies and be lifted into the mind of God. And until we do that, we are in what I like to think of as a catch-22 merry-go-round. And the way that works is what we believe, we create. What we see, we believe. We see what we create. We believe what we created. And we continue to create it. And even when we're creating something better, we're creating something better based on we don't like what we see. And we move it maybe that much, because what we're doing is we're using this flawed reference point to start with of what is possible. So we're going, well, if I could create this, then I can create this. And you can move that way, but the way that we really move into a really satisfying experience is we start learning to let go. We move into that place of peace by coming to rest, and we're lifted. And then Spirit begins to manifest through us, and our experience of this life gets to be like being on a ride. And we are participants in allowing it to be created, but the creation that we're experiencing transcends our imagination, which gives us an experience of living in, wow. We get to live with our mind being blown all the time, because it's just like, wow, I never would have imagined it could be this good. And that comes out of just letting go and letting those energies lift us. The they are is a recognition that this individuated consciousness is a separate entity. That doesn't mean that it's separate all the way, but you have to acknowledge, Barbara and I have to acknowledge our individualities before we can come into a relationship of oneness. And whereas we may intellectually understand, well, of course we're all one, we all come from the same place, until we acknowledge and honor our individuality, we can't merge this way. We can't merge in the physical, but we can merge in the spiritual. And the spiritual, the place where we merge, is the place where we're able to go within. And that's what this coming into peace and this being lifted into this ascendant process does. And the place where we hold that is a recognition that within us is a frequency that transcends our thought. And when, as we give our attention to that, what we do is we activate this law that says, as you give, so shall you receive. And we give our attention into that pure frequency that transcends thought, and transcendental energy begins to return through our same consciousness, and that is how we ascend. And the name of that transcendental energy is love. The final transcendental being that we work with is the Oracle of Transcendence. That's the 12th being. This being is the 11th being, and we still have to go through 7 and 8 to get to the 12th one. But right now we're working with this one tonight is the 11th. It's the one right under that one. But it also happens to go with the third eye and the throat. It's their higher self, if you will. Right? So it's in this experience of letting go. Letting go is the beginning of it. letting go in the way where we're allowing ourselves to be lifted. But the way that we stay focused so that we can continue to lift is by focusing on spirit. And in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the nature of spirit, the identity of spirit, is a frequency. And there are many levels of it within our consciousness. And many, many ways that we can, levels that we can experience that frequency on. But essentially, it's a vibration and it is a sound, a word. It is the same essence from which we form our thoughts. So when you go into your mind and you think a sound, say hue in the mind, and you feel where that sound is emanating from in the mind, where you're drawing the substance that forms that word from, and then you allow yourself to go from the place where you are drawing forth that vibrational stuff that you're putting into the form of that sound hue, and then you let go of that part of you that's creating that sound and listen, and you can literally hear the electricity of your own spirit, as it were. And that is the they are we're talking about here. They are, in this case, is spirit. The instruction is love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and your whole soul. And this is the place where we have gathered up all these energies from these other centers to come into this place where we go, they are. So all this energy has been gathered up through all of these centers as we've moved up in this journey that we're taking through these oracles to come up to this place where the attunement in the prayer is in heaven, to turn our attention to the doorway of heaven, which is that sound. It's they are. It's where we give our total attention in the spirit. You won't be able to do it for very long. But if you do it just for that long, if you just slide on and slide off that quickly, you've done yourself an enormous amount of good.
Slide on and slide off.
Huh? If you can just focus on that frequency,
okay,
just briefly.
For that frequency for a moment.
Yeah, just for the briefest moment. If you just touch it and you're off, you have still done an enormous amount of good for your spirit. And probably for your body and your emotions and your state of mind, because that energy is the most healing. It is the essence of healing. That sound.
Can I ask you a question? So, I mean, these transcendents are very abstract, obviously.
Right. Very.
They are. I sort of get the feeling that when I say that the they is actually all of me, all the aspects of me. They, all of them, are looking to the sound of God.
Well,
the they are is
really a statement about spirit. Okay, and to finish that statement, I would say it is, they are all that is. Mm-hmm. Spirit is all that is. And it happens to be a they simply because, for two reasons. One, it is everything.
And it's how we experience it in the world.
Right. And it is also because at that place right there, mm-hmm, where we are the observer of it, mm-hmm, it is separate from us. Mm-hmm. Not in reality, but within our own mind. So Barbara and I being in separate bodies, we have to honor that separateness in order to work into cooperation, to come into oneness. Okay? If we're trying to merge this way, we can't do it. But by acknowledging, okay, I need to go in here and she needs to go in there, and then in doing that, we come into one spirit. And this is the place where we really acknowledge, okay, here I am. I am, in this form, God's child. On the other side of the what they call the cosmic mirror, which is at the very edge of the etheric realm and the beginning of the soul realm, on the other side of that mirror, I am God. But on this side of this that mirror, I am God's creation. Okay? And the whole trap of that mirror and what we begin to come into right in this level is we come up to it and we go, oh, I am what I seek. But we're not looking at the essence, we're looking at the form. We're seeing our own reflection.
So it's like a paradox. There's truth in that, but it's not the whole truth.
Exactly. So what you see in that is, and this is why this is so paradoxical, is that what is required here is an enormous level of surrender. Because in they are, it's saying they are everything. I am nothing. And that's where you get to move into real oneness with spirit. Within this level, which is the first level of true unity.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where I in and of myself can do nothing.
Yes.
There's a recognition of spirit with me can do everything.
Right. And in going even beyond that, it is I in of myself am nothing. In fact, I, as an individual, am a total illusion. Okay. A very good illusion.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good trick.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we let go in that real totality there, we go through this passageway. And if we just let go for just an instant to that extent, it is so powerful. It really can't even be described. Just the tiniest instant. Because what we're doing when we let go in this way, on this level, is that tiniest little letting go is a letting go into a timeless reality. So even the briefest instant that we touch into that reality is actually an eternity.
The great truth.
Yeah.
When you were, you said go into the word.
Yes.
And I heard the word, and then I felt the word. But it wasn't just here. It was all, my whole body felt the word.
So right.
The Word of God.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yeah. But there is a sequence here.
Right.
Yeah.
There have been times when I would be somewhere and someone would ask me a question. Might be discussing something. The thing I remember was when I was in Cincinnati and I was doing a workshop for Michael. The Festival of Light was the first time I ever did one. And there were like 30 or 35 people in the room. Well, not a workshop, a talk like you did.
Right, lecture.
Yeah. And somebody asked a question. And I went in just like that. I mean, it just went into this space, and I started speaking, but it wasn't me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole energy came in. Mm-hmm.
That's an example of the other aspect of working with they are, which is the place where you make yourself available unconditionally to be of service. And that happens through, both things happen through intent. But when you make yourself available to do whatever is needed, spirit will literally come in and take and use you as a vessel as you get out of the way. And that's through an intent to love and be of service for the highest good. And that's how that experience happens in a totally other way. And these two work together, because as you give your attention into spirit, as you learn to do that, there's an understanding of how you let go to be this other thing. And you cannot let go in the they are, which is pure essence, without becoming the vessel into this world.
Well,
because
you can't do it in the moment. It's not like you do it in the moment of, you know, as we're sitting here, I can rededicate myself to that, but it's not like you make a decision and then you open up. It's like you make the decision that that's the way you're going to lead your life, or, you know, just go, okay, surrender. And then it happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, what happens is conditions of need present themselves to you, and as you don't turn away from those conditions of need, then spirit comes through you to fulfill those conditions of need. And it's a very magical and very wonderful and a very selfless experience. That is something that you cannot, as you say, just decide you're going to do. It's
say, oh, there's a need, I'll do this now.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm going to channel God. It's about when you've learned to open your heart that much, it just happens. But you can, through exercise, learn to surrender to the spirit within you. And that's why here's how the teaching comes forward, and it's so clear and so perfect and it's so beautiful. Jesus says, he's asked, what is the most important law? And Jesus says, the first law is to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul. And the second is, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, and the first is like the second, and the second is like the first. And that's what we're talking about here. And there is an enigma and a dichotomy in there. But as you, and there's a reason one is first and one is second. Some people are more prone towards one. Barbara is much more prone to be in the world in that way initially, and I'm much more prone to be in an inner relationship initially. Both things serve the other relationship. But in my experience, it is easier to initiate that relationship on the inner as the way of expanding our ability to surrender and ascend.
Because of how you're created.
Yeah, it may be. I tend to think that the reason the first law is love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind is because it does make it easier to do the second. And I think Barbara, while she has a tendency towards the other, would say that when she does this other one first, that's a lot easier for her.
Right, and I actually think that the reason that I come out in that way is because early on, I really remember being completely dedicated to spirit. And it was... Yeah. When I went to church, it wasn't because I was going to church to hear, you know, the minister. It was because of the essence of Christ that I felt that was so present. And I think somehow that opened me up to being able to receive that.
Yeah.
And
well, do you see
the dedication?
Do you hear the they are here? Okay. Mm-hmm. See, there's an aspect of they are, and the service is an aspect of they are. And the devotion through meditation is an aspect of they are. It's all aspects of they are, which brings us into the selflessness, which is where the ascension takes place, where the real literal ascension in consciousness takes place to the point where we can transcend. And in a very sort of practical, very human aspect, it boils down to what we call intention. And if you intend to be of service, then Spirit will definitely use you. Spirit does not let anything go to waste.
Reminds me of the day we all met.
Yeah.
That was so far out for me.
For all of us.
For all of us. I mean, it was just... got the job done, didn't it?
Yeah. Have any questions here about this? It's a real, on one hand, it's real slippery, and on the other hand, that they are, which is the transcendent here, is basically saying, this is the point where you make that choice to give it all up.
So is this how you termed it, the dedication of the Grail, or was that?
This is the dedication of the Grail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last summer, when I was guided to receive Tao, they talk about this being the gate of heaven here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting process for me because it's so foreign from any experience of, you know, outward kind of thing that I would ever do. All that bowing and stuff, you know. So part of me is like, oh man, I'm in the wrong place.
But see, all that bowing is part of they are.
Okay,
it's
so
a way of embodying they are,
right.
See.
And I was humbled. I mean, it was just like so amazing.
Yeah.
But when he, what did he do? He touches your heart.
It's like a baptism.
Baptizes. I mean, it was like, I mean, the energy, the same energy that I felt when we were going into the word is the energy I felt.
Right.
He had that gift, you know.
Right.
Well,
like
and let me explain that gift.
Mm-hmm.
He has that gift not as just sort of an innate thing that he was born with. He has that gift because he does this exercise and he gives his attention to that sound frequency. I guarantee you the initiatory part of what they're doing has to do with the sound frequency. It has to do with however they term the name of God. They're dealing with the same thing. Our Father, Mother, who art in heaven, the gate of heaven, hallowed be thy name. And as they give their vibratory, creative power, choice, to attune to the essence from which it emanates, that person's energy field becomes filled with it. And when they touch you with intent, it has power because of that. It is literally because they go through that gate. And that's what we're talking about here, is this is how you go through that gate. Of course. We're not used to anybody. We're not used to people who have power.
Yeah, I had the same experience when I was ordained in that order to keep it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shortly after that, I mean, it was major.
And
it's another layer.
And it can even happen with people who are not all that gifted if they happen to line up their intent.
Right.
For example, if there's a person here who says, my intent is to assist you in coming into the order of Melchizedek, and your intent says, is my intent to now come into that and take responsibility for that in my life, and both of you can be total goofs, but if your mutual intent aligns up with that frequency that resonates with that word Melchizedek, it will shoot right through both of you. Now, the chances it's going to happen twice in one day or in one week is not very good. Whereas the Tao master who knows how to practice consciously going through that door can do that all day long and has that power, because he's like the guy who worked out in the gym and developed those kinds of muscles. And it's on that level, it is very much like that. It's very much like exercise.
Good explanation. I always, my thoughts and feelings from the past come in, and we've talked about this, and to let go of them and to find that spot or that space to stay in it is the challenge.
Yeah. Well, and if you just look at the energy centers and the oracles that we've worked with, you can see how much of what we have done, especially from the heart down, is about letting go of all of that, okay, as a foundation for coming into these higher attunements. Now you can see this is not so much about letting go. This is about attuning. And if you work with the lower ones at letting go, then when it comes time to attune, you will be able to attune. Otherwise, you're going to be attuning to the stuff you haven't let go of. See?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we all do. So it's really perfect that you bring that up, because it emphasizes there are layers and there's a sequence. Now, as you get really good at this, you can just go right into those higher levels faster and faster and faster. However, there will be that time when karma comes knocking at your door and you're really glad to have those lower tools to let go. And then when you come up and do that focus, then that energy comes forward really powerful, because you have that energy that is there just waiting to be transmuted. And it's two things. It's come knocking at your door to be transmuted, and it's also come knocking at your door to see if you're ready to burn that brightly.
Or feed it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, is this guy going to go on to the neck, go on from here, or do we need to do another time around? It's so much like school. It's a lot like school.
That essence, you talked about that last week. When I was doing the hue, I felt it in the throat. And I have ringing in both ears, so I don't hear anything but that. But I could connect with it. And it was like a current.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first. I'm grateful for that.
And you can move that current that you feel in your throat. And those of us who can hear without that, and it's even in that ringing, if you choose to attune to another dimension of the ringing, but it goes right up from the throat, right into the center of the head, and there's a place where you'll actually be able to hear it best.
I can feel it.
Yeah. Well, you can actually.
I think you can feel it first, actually.
Yeah. Well, everybody has a different way, but you'll be able to hear it right in the center of your head. And they call that the cave of Brahman because it's like a resonant chamber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pineal gland is filled, has crystals in it, and that's the resonant aspect of that. I mean, but they envision it as a cave because it resonates like a amphitheater with the sound of spirit.
But the neat piece for me is you describe the essence beyond the atomic structure, and it's the divinity or the oneness, and I can feel that. I mean, that opened a door for me of understanding. And,
So tonight, go ahead.
You connect with it, and you like become it. You know, once I sense it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, your whole being sort of vibrates to it, and it really you do become one with it.
Well, thanks. It's one of those keys.
The attunements for this being are joy, which has a very resonant quality, and peace, which is sort of the absence of resonant quality, which is the place. Joy is like the place where we're lifting out of this human limitation, and there's a resonance that comes with that of the breaking down of the barrier. We come up into that gate of heaven, which is peace, which is like the absence, and then we are literally lifted into a whole new dimension of resonance, which is beyond the self as we know it. So we're working with the rhythm here. There's two rhythms. One will be an in-breath of joy in the expansiveness of the in-breath,